Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. We're live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. Hashtag crew assembled around us here. Hembo, Bubba, Cam, Brandon's around. Pineapple Jack. We'll have trivia in this hour. And we're going to do something a little different. I'm really looking forward to this. We're going to have Joey Molinaro on. For those of you who know who he is an impressionist, and you see him all over social media, which is where I saw him. And he does a lot, a lot of sports-related impressions. And I happen to love impressionists. And many of you who are old Mike and Mike fans will remember that we used to have Caliendo on all the time, and there was nothing we loved more than that. He was just so damn funny. And Joey is in that vein. He's in that category. He's that good. And but he does he does slightly more obscure impressions. Like, I really like his Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, that's really good.
Like, you don't know, like, most people don't do a Chris Collinsworth, but he starts doing it. Like, the really famous people in sports. Like, Caliendo did John Gruden, and he did, you know, he did
Barkley,
all, everyone that,
John,
you know,
Madden.
Like, the, mm-hmm. Yeah, Madden, most legendarily.
Brett Favre.
Madden.
What was that?
Joey does, what was that?
I was doing my Caliendo.
Cam
doing
just
Madden.
Did a Madden impression, and I didn't know what it was.
Do that again,
Give
Cam.
Us a little Madden.
Brett Favre.
What?
It's terrible.
You're just saying Brett Favre
in, yeah, that was
in a mouthful of marbles?
Yeah.
In a weird voice? Like,
that was basically it, right? I nailed it.
You should do it for Joey.
That was horrible.
Yeah, that was really bad. I mean, I mean,
that was what John Madden was always talking about. He loved Brett Favre.
No, I get that.
No.
You got the reference.
Just making sure you guys got that part.
You have to sound like at least slightly like him in order for it to be a...
Let's hear it one more time.
Well, Brett Favre...
Oh my God!
I don't even know
what like, is that.
I don't even know.
It's Caliendo like, doing Madden. How
that
is that
didn't
not
even
clear?
Sound like it was the first time you did it.
It's getting worse. Yeah,
it's getting worse.
It sounded like H. Ross Perot saying Brett Favre. Like, I'm just thrown by everything about that impression. But anyway, so Joey does much better impressions than that.
If you say
and,
so.
And so we'll have him on, and so we'll get into that.
By the way, is he going to do you?
I don't know.
Cam, did we ask him if he had a greenie ready?
I don't think he has a greenie.
No one does me.
I thought that was the point.
I feel like I should be doable, and yet no one does me.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Right? I mean, I am at least a little distinctive, aren't I?
I think you are. Ryan Clark does
no
a pretty
one
good
does
you.
It. Ryan Clark does a little bit of me, but he just kind of does your sort of standard geeky white guy, and that's fine.
But you check those boxes.
All of them. I mean, I'm standard, I'm geeky, and I'm white, and I'm a guy. So I get that. But I don't think he doesn't need to do any of the nuance, because no one's expecting him to be an impressionist.
Right.
Like, you're not expecting, like, with a really good impressionist, I want to close my eyes and not know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Caliendo would do a bit with us where we would have a celebrity on, and we would have him on at the same time and have him do the impression while they
That's
were on.
That's good.
We did that, believe it or not, we did that with Donald Trump, like in 2010.
That's a different world.
That was a very different time. We did it with Stephen A. He was Stephen B. Smith. We did it with a ton of people. Anyway, all of that notwithstanding, the point of the story is we're going to have Joey on, and that'll be fun. With regard to the basketball, there's a few different areas I want to start with. For those just joining us, I want to make this point again. The NCAA tournament is probably the best sporting event we have. If you are a fan of sports in America, there's nothing better, right? It never fails. Those first couple of days are always incredible. Everyone's got a bracket. Everyone's into it. The music is great. The sheets of integrity are great. The bands are great. The players crying when they lose is great. Like, the cutting down of the nets is great. The NCAA tournament is undefeated. But you know, if you listen to me, that I have many times said, I also think it is the worst way to crown a champion I could ever possibly imagine. The last time a team won back-to-back championships, it was done by Billy Donovan. And in one of those years, he said, famously, if we just started the whole thing over again, it would play out entirely differently. And I don't like that. There's something in the sports fan in me wants to see the best team win. I get it that they don't always win. But an upset... If you're going to have like a colossal upset, it should come in the finals. It should come in the Super Bowl, right? It shouldn't come because the 34th best team in the country just knocked off the first in a best of one series. Whatever. I get it. I'm on an island on that, and I'm not suggesting they should change it. I'm merely saying there is something a little unsatisfying sometimes when a team that was the 21st best team in the country gets hot at the right point, win six games at the very end, and we say they're the champions of the season.
But that happens pretty infrequently. Since seeding began in 1979, there have been 45 champions, of course. How many of those 45 champions do you think were on the one seed line? So theoretically, one of the four best teams in America out of those 45.
That's an excellent question. I'm going to say half.
26 out of 45.
A little more.
So you're getting more than half of the time, at least one of the top four teams is winning it.
Do you have the other side of that? Like, how often has it been someone seeded, let's say, five or lower?
I have them all by seed. So again, it's 26 times the one seed. The two seed has won seven times.
All right, so hold on. So that's 33 out of how many?
33 out of 45 are won by the one or the two seed. One of the eight best teams in America have won 33 out of 45.
Okay, so what that is actually doing is it is completely contradicting my point, which I am 100% comfortable doing. I will never sit here and lie to you. So you're telling me I'm wrong, and I probably am, because you're telling me the randomness does not exist. If one of the top eight teams in the country winds up winning it 33 out of 45 times, which even with my bad math, I know is right around 75%.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Keep going.
If you go to the three seed line, there are five more. And so,
oh, my God. So that's 38 out of 45?
39 out of 45.
39 out of 45.
I should have said 27 because I'm looking at a list that does not include last night. So 27, if I didn't say that, I'm sorry. 27 out of 45 are one seed. So again, 27 are the one seeds. Seven are the two seed, five are the three seed, so that's 39 out of 45.
Have been top 12 teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
What are the, just out of curiosity, what were the other six?
We have two fours, two sixes, one eight, and one seven.
So we got super rarely do we have someone from way off the board. I think the eight was Danny and the Miracles.
Yes.
Do I have that right? They were an eight. Don't tell me. Let me see if I can just remember these. Who would have been a seven? You guys got it?
It's UConn.
2014.
Yeah, Kevin Ollie's team.
You knew that or you looked it up?
No, I knew that.
You'll recall 1983 NC State was a six.
Uh-huh. Not Kemba's team, though.
1988 Kansas was a six.
Wasn't eight? Wasn't that Villanova who...
Yeah, 85 Villanova is the
eight. Oh, sorry. Danny and the Miracles was Danny Manning.
Oh, my mistake.
Kansas.
I misheard you then.
Okay.
They were a six seed. And then
six.
The two fours are UConn last year and 1997 Arizona.
Arizona that beat a banged-up Kentucky team. Okay, so you know what? I stand a little corrected. I do. It isn't as random as I've always thought. Sort of defeats everything I was about to say. Let's move on to another topic. No, I'm just kidding. I like that. Then it is even better than I thought it was.
It's even more common in the women's game. The best team or the best teams on the one line win even more disproportionately.
Yeah, because there's so that will start to change a little.
I think so.
As there is more of a distribution of good talent. Anyway, the point I was going to make, which I guess remains, is that I, as a sports fan, like it when the best team wins.
Mm-hmm.
The South Carolina women were the best team all year long. I'm glad they won. The UConn men were the best team all year long. I'm glad they won. And actually it came down to the best possible matchups because Iowa was also a one seed with a superstar player and everything else. They were a worthy runner-up. Purdue was one of the best teams in the country from the first day to the last. They were with the player of the year, they were a very worthy runner-up. So there was a very satisfying conclusion to the college basketball season. I'll leave it at that, and I stand corrected on the other stuff. Now, that said, who's going to replace John Calipari at Kentucky? For what it's worth, there is a tweet here from our Matt Jones that says Calipari still hasn't informed Kentucky he is resigning. Until that happens, UK has to wait to officially reach out to coaches. But that does seem like a formality.
It seems like a formality. Although, Cam, did you see the video yesterday of Cal opting not to answer this question when some camera found him walking on the sidewalk? Did you see what I saw?
I did, yes.
He was walking his dog, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
He was walking his dog, and it wasn't leashed. His dog was, like, in a...
stroller.
In a stroller. Is that normal?
Not very.
Okay, because I found that very off-putting.
I've seen it. You see it in the streets of New York sometimes.
But what's the point of walking your dog if it's also not walking?
Well, maybe it's an older dog, and it can't walk as far.
Just wants to get it some fresh air.
Fresh
air is good.
But you could also take it to a park or something.
The dog was walking at the time.
No, the dog was not walking. The dog was in a stroller,
the stroller
being
was
transported.
Empty.
No, he had the stroller, but the dog was walking.
The dog was walking. The stroller was empty.
Well, that's even worse. He brought an empty stroller and a dog.
Maybe the dog wants to rest.
Yeah, in case he needed to pick it up and put it in there.
I've got no issue with John Calipari's dog walking.
Maybe he has a grandchild or something like that. Is it possible there was a human in the stroller?
I find that unlikely.
Why?
Because it's not that safe to walk.
That's where strollers usually are. That's how you, most of the time, you have a one-year-old.
Right, and I don't
I find
walk
it unlikely that there was a human in the stroller.
And my children simultaneously.
Why?
Because it's unsafe.
To who?
Just to have all my arms occupied. I have to hold a dog in one hand, walk the stroller with one hand in a very busy area of New Jersey. It's unsafe.
How busy is your area of New Jersey?
I mean, he was on like a highway, it looked like to me. Or at least he was on like a fairly, like a double yellow lined area.
I'm just going to say this. I haven't seen the video
he's
you're talking about.
He's definitely not on a highway.
There's no conceivable chance he was walking on a highway.
He's in a neighborhood.
He's in a neighborhood.
It looked like a busy neighborhood.
You're an idiot.
There are no cars on the street.
There are trees everywhere.
And he's on the sidewalk.
There can be trees along the highway.
He's not even in the street.
There's nothing unsafe about walking your children and your dog at the same time.
There's one car that drove by.
And he's not on the road.
And you're telling me that his dog was leashed at the time and he's just using an empty stroller?
The dog appears to be not leashed.
The dog is walking next to him.
The dog is walking next to him, and he's pushing a stroller.
In case maybe the dog gets tired or there's a grandchild in there.
A, there could be a grandchild. B, sometimes with older dogs, you push them and so you can get them where you want them to go. So let's say the dog park that you want to go to is four blocks away, but the dog can't really walk at the four blocks so easily. You put them in the stroller. You walk to the dog park. You let the dog play. Then you put the dog back in the stroller.
So do you think there's any way he pulls out of the Arkansas job?
Well, I assume that was the point, or at least I assumed that was the point we were getting to. No, I think this is a fait accompli. If this wasn't going to happen, then there would have been a lot more things that would have happened since the time Pete Thamel reported it on Sunday. So let's live in a world where he is leaving Kentucky and it's just going to take place over the next day or two.
But the point is that Matt says in this tweet is they can't really begin the process until he officially resigns and joins Arkansas. So they're already a little behind the eight ball. Not that there's, you know, a mad dash to get some of these guys, but they can't really get the ball rolling. And some of these recruits are already decommitting and leaving.
Yeah, but it's the Kentucky. I hear what you're saying, but it's the Kentucky job. Those recruits are going to go with Cal wherever he goes. So I don't think that's a problem, or at least they chose Cal specifically. But if you get the right person in there, they will have no trouble recruiting at Kentucky. Yeah. Literally none. So the question is, who's the right person? Does Billy Donovan leave the NBA to go back there?
I think he has to be considered the favorite. I mean, what does Billy Donovan have left in the NBA? Like, the Bulls are just meandering in mediocrity. It's been years since he was coached a team that performed at a high level. We know he's an outstanding college basketball coach who might win another bite at the apple at a different school in an NIL era. I mean, he jumped to go to the NBA to coach Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. The Bulls aren't that. Billy Donovan.
I can't believe Billy Donovan's only 58.
Yeah, he's such a
good
coach.
He was so young at Florida.
He's excellent. I think he'd have to be at the very top of that list. If you're telling me Jay Wright's not interested, and he said yesterday as much, he's not interested. Money talks, of course. But Billy Donovan's a really good choice for Kentucky.
Who else?
It would be a major upgrade. Do you like the Nate Oates fit? Nate Oates, who's proven he can win in the SEC. He's kind of uninspiring to me, but a lot of people consider him a favorite.
Yeah, I don't see why I would dislike it. I mean, I don't know enough about him to have a strong opinion on it one way or the other. I know that at a football school, he's done a lot of high-level basketball winning.
Mm-hmm.
For what it's worth, Nate Oates did post a tweet that he's committed to Alabama.
Yeah, and he just got a new contract. Scott Drew out of Baylor, someone who won a national championship a few years ago, feels like a very safe option. He's done winning at a high level. He's not done it in the SEC, but he's super good at that job. It's Kentucky. I mean, they're going to have options. A lot of people are going to get raises, but they're going to have a lot of good options.
Absolutely right. And those people are enjoying this too, and that might be part of the reason it's taking so long.
Wow. Okay. And how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
All right. We told you that Joey Molinaro will jump in coming up next year, which I'm really looking forward to. He is a big Steeler fan, and so in his honor, Hembo has prepared a Steelers question.
The Steelers have 36 playoff wins in their history. What is the only franchise they have beaten in the playoffs five times? The team the Steelers have beaten in the playoffs more times than any other. That is the question for Joey.
And the answer is next on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. A reminder that starting stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Before we answer the question, we're going to bring in a special guest who is also going to take his shot at Sneaky Hembo here. And when I was a kid, I'm a lot older than anyone else in this conversation, I used to watch the Johnny Carson show. I'd watch the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson every night before I went to bed. And my favorite, you know, when I got old enough to watch that, because it was on at 11:30 at night. And my favorite thing was when he would have impressionists on. I've always loved impressionists. Rich Little was the really famous one back then. But there have been, obviously, through the course of time, a great many great ones. And on the old show on Mike and Mike, we used to have Frank Caliendo on all the time because he was just so damn funny. And over the last few years, I have really enjoyed on social media watching Joey Molinaro doing his impressions. He does a ton of sports impressions, among other things, and I really like it. And he's got a tour going on right now to show you what a sports guy he is. His tour is called the NFC North Tour, even though it starts in Buffalo, which, of course, is not in the NFC North. But he joins us here, and we'll talk about any number of different things. But, Joey, it is a pleasure to have you on. We've been looking forward to this.
Greeny, so good to be here, man. You mentioned Frank Caliendo on Mike and Mike. My mom would literally tape those for me on the DVR, so when I was at school, I could come back home and watch those when I was a kid growing up. Honor to be here, man. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you. And in your honor, Hembo, because you are a Steeler fan and a Purdue fan, so this the Purdue part of it is actually a perfect day to ask you about them. But because you're a Steeler fan, trivia today is a Steeler-related question.
Yes, the Steelers have 36 playoff wins in their long and storied history. The question is, what is the only franchise they have beaten in the playoffs five times? The team the Steelers have beaten in the playoffs more than any other.
I'm pretty sure I know this, but Joey, as our guest, will give you the first crack at it. Who do you think it is?
I think it is very close to home. I think it is a reason why so many people that I grew up with hate the team that I root for. It is the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to go with the Colts.
Ooh, that's not the guess I was going to have, but I like that. I was going to guess the Raiders. I felt like they played the Raiders in the playoffs every year of my childhood, and they won almost every one of those games. But more recently, there have been a lot of Colts games, so we will see. We got two different guesses there. Cam and Bubba, who you got?
I'm going the Broncos. I think the Raiders are the more obvious one. I like Joey's Colts guess, but I'm going Broncos.
So we're all over the board now. Bubba.
Yeah, I'm with you, Greeny. The first team I thought of was Raiders. I don't really have a good guess, really, but I'm going Raiders. I don't know. Let's
go Raiders. Terry Bradshaw versus Ken Stabler was the rivalry of my childhood. Did you get anything from Jack and Brandon?
I sure do. Jack is also guessing the Colts, and Brandon is guessing the Dolphins.
Okay, so we are all over the board. Who's right?
Joey's right.
Oh, wow, Joey!
The Indianapolis Colts, having lost to the Steelers in 75, 76, 95, 96, and 2005.
Wow.
Joey.
There we go.
Put it on the board.
Right. All right. So if we can for a moment here, just because I was telling you, we have a whole game planned for you and everything else. But my favorite impression of yours, because I think it is so subtle, is Chris Collinsworth. So now that you just got that right, how would Chris Collinsworth have reacted to Joey Molinaro getting that question right?
You know, Greeny, I think you look at Joey, you say, here's a guy that lives in Indianapolis, but he roots for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, it's quite a head-scratcher when you think about it, but then you hear the story about how his dad grew up in the 70s with those famous Mean Joe Green-led Steelers, and it all makes sense. But some people still want to act like they don't know what the hell's going on. I'm just glad that Joey has a team that he can root for and watch me on Sunday Night Football. There is no doubt about it.
So good. Really good. It's so good. Yeah. Because I've never heard anyone else do Chris Collinsworth. Like, when Caliendo would do Madden was the most imitatable person in the world. Now, Caliendo did it better than anyone else ever has. But a lot of people did Madden. A lot of people did Harry Carey. I've never heard anyone do Chris Collinsworth before. The other one I love, Joey, is my favorite announcer, is Gus Johnson. Give me a little Gus.
Oh, wow!
Keep going.
Give me a Caitlin Clark.
Don't you miss him on March Madness, Greeny? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's that?
I said, don't you miss him on March Madness?
Terribly.
It's a real shame that he's not on there anymore.
I completely agree. You know, guys change networks, and they should be allowed to just do the events they should do. Like, if Jim Nantz were to ever leave CBS, he should still do the Masters, because it just should be that. So give me a little of that. Now, you're heartbroken, I know, because you love Purdue. You're a Purdue fan. Your wife went to Purdue. You got married at Purdue, is what I'm being told. So you're a big Purdue person. So how would Gus have summed up the terrible disappointment, but a terrific season for the Boilermakers?
Oh, wow! Zach, Edie, not enough! UConn Huskies bringing the heat in Arizona!
See? It's perfect. It's so good. It has gotten now, and this is when the impressions really set in. It has gotten to where now when I'm watching him do Ohio State, Michigan, I'm in Copenhagen, Denmark, visiting my son, who was having his semester abroad, watching Ohio State, Michigan at like whatever time of day it was there. The game was on at some ridiculous time. It was like 10:30 at night or something, like, I forget what it was. And I'm watching it and I'm hearing Gus, and all I can picture is Joey doing Gus. I'm thinking of you in Copenhagen now, Joey.
That's my favorite. It really is cool when I get that. It'd be, you know, NFL drafts coming up, so I get a lot of the Kuipers, you know. Those come into my Twitter feed a whole bunch.
Give me a little Mel.
You know, my favorite with the favorite with the Kuiper is, you mentioned the subtleties, Greeny. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's not so much about him talking. It's about that look and that pause that he has while he's listening to the live delay, right? So they throw it to him, and he's got the... Yeah, I think it'll look a grainy show overall. Give it a solid A. Day one draft grade for me. Overall, I don't know about Joey Molinaro. He's kind of flubbing on this one right now, but he did go with the subtlety impression, a little bit of the head nod. He brought it back at the end there. Very good for him. Overall, A-plus grade for Joey on his performance there. We're going back and forth there, but I do like him. Day one draft pick, Joey Molinaro on the Grainy Show.
It's very good. It's very good. And, I do the draft now with Mel. So, I mean, no one knows the idiosyncrasies of a Mel Kiper delivery better than I do. Now, let me make sure everybody knows that Joey is on tour right now. It's called the NFC North Tour. And as we work our way through this month, he's going to be in Buffalo, in Detroit, in Kansas City, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Chicago at Zanies, which is a terrific club, and then in Green Bay. So he is hitting most of the, all of the NFC North cities. And you can get all the tickets and all that information at OfficialJoeyMolinaro.com. OfficialJoeyMolinaro.com. Molinaro spelled with a U-M-U, Molinaro.com. And if you're not following him on Twitter, you should, because all the stuff is hilarious. Okay, so we put together a little game here. This was Cam, was this your game? Is it you who put this together?
Yeah, we got a bunch of movie quotes.
Okay, so these are some of the most famous movie quotes of all time. So we will give you the quote. You want me to, Cam, should I read the quote or just tell him the movie?
You can give the quote and then the impression and have him fire away.
Okay.
We'll go one at a time.
So we'll go one at a time. So the first one may be the most famous line in the history of American cinema, was Clark Gable saying, as Rhett Butler in Gone with the Wind, saying, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." Now, if Chris Collinsworth had played that part in that movie, how would that have sounded?
"Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. If it's not Patrick Mahomes, then I don't want to see it. There is no doubt about it."
That's so good. Okay, I love it. Next, my favorite movie is Casablanca, and the legendary line, Humphrey Bogart, maybe the most imitatable actor, by the way, that ever lived, at many times says to Ingrid Bergman, "Here's looking at you, kid." If Ed Orgeron had played Rick in Casablanca, how would that have sounded?
"Hey, look at you, kid. You look like a tiger to me. Come down with your waves and gumbo. Come here, go time. We got to go tigers."
Oh, it's very good. Very, very good.
I miss Coach O.
Okay.
I miss him so much.
Oh, yes. That was a loss for you. Okay. Jaws, famously, the line, "You're going to need a bigger boat," right? Roy Scheider with that stunned look on his face. How about if Tony Romo had played that part?
"Ooh, Jim, we're going to need a bigger boat." "Okay. Oh, is it the shark? He's cut. I don't know if he's going to make it, but we need a bigger boat, Jim. We do."
Okay. This is going very well. Okay. The next one is The Wizard of Oz. Toto, I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. If Rams coach Sean McVay had played that part.
"Yeah, man. Hey, Toto, I got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. Good thing we're not. Last time I was there was in 1996. I was on a scouting visit, me and Mike McDaniel. We went out there. We had two steak dinners, man. I actually had the salad, Caesar chop salad before. He had two glasses of wine. It was a good night. It was overall. Otherwise, I don't really like being in Kansas too much. Reminds me too much of Patrick Mahomes. Brings back bad memories there. But, yeah, I remember that trip well, but it feels like we're not there anymore, Toto."
That's another good one. That's a lot of words. Okay, here we go. The Godfather. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Jimmy Fallon.
I love him. I he's so good. I don't want to kill him, but sometimes I just I have to make him an offer I can't refuse.
That's awesome. Great imitation. Joey Molinaro is with us again. The tour is coming up this month, the NFC North Tour. I'll give you all the information again in a minute. Okay. Andrew Luck in Taxi Driver. The line is, "You talking to me?"
Are you talking to me? I know I'm kind of a goofy guy. They don't talk to me very much anymore, especially since I retired, but... Hey, you talking to me? I'm a pretty big guy. I mean, I can... okay.
Oh, my God. That is a great one.
Wow.
Okay. All right. We're rolling along. Adam Sandler, if he was in Fight Club, the first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club. Adam Sandler.
Right there. The first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club, and if you do talk about Fight Club, then well, you just gotta shut up.
Oh, Cam, this was an excellent idea. Al Michaels, Star Wars, "May the Force be with you."
"May the Force be with you. And if you had Denver plus 3.5, you're going to need a lot more than that."
Very good. Okay, a lot of people's favorite movie is The Princess Bride. The legendary line from that is, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." Mel Kiper, let's go.
"Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Certainly a big red flag for me. Big concern when you take out my family members and you kill them. Now you need to be prepared to die."
Oh, so good. Let's see. A Few Good Men, the Jack Nicholson line, "You can't handle the truth." My old buddy Colin Cowherd.
You know, a lot of people ask me to give their team credit. I'm not in the credit business. I'm in the honesty business. The truth. You
can't handle the truth. It's hurt.
That's a great
very
tower.
Good. Wow. That's another good one. Because Colin's not easy to do.
That's really good.
All right, here we go. Toy Story to Infinity and Beyond, Pat McAfee.
Give me Cuzzy Buzz Lightyear and the rootinest tootinest cowboy this side of Andy's bedroom to infinity and beyond.
That's so good.
Wow. That's really good. Let's see. I have a few more. My favorite. Gus Johnson, Apollo 13, Houston, we have a problem.
H-Town! We have a problem! And his name is C.J. Stroud!
Oh, that's my favorite. Gus Johnson is my favorite.
That's so good.
That's my number one. He's so imitatable, but almost impossible to do. Like I should say he's so distinctive, but impossible to get. You've got him exactly right. All right, two more. Actually, three more. Nick Saban, Is Shawshank Redemption, Get Busy Living, or Get Busy Dying?
Well, you want to sit and complain? I'll tell you this. Get busy living or get busy dying. All right? It's pretty simple. All right? You don't want to be in my program if you want to sit around on your ass and complain all day. All right? You're going to get busy living or you're going to get busy dying. All right? Now, I'm not sure what I'm going to do because I got to go be on TV and do shows like Greenies now because I'm not coaching my football program anymore. So maybe I just want to die myself. I don't really know. But for you, you better get busy living or get busy dying, son.
Oh, really
That's
good.
A classic.
I've seen the Saban a million times. That is a great one. Two more. Back to the Future, Rhodes, Where We're Going, We Don't Need Rhodes, Patrick Mahomes.
Rhodes? Where we're going, we don't need Rhodes. We just get on my back. Me and Coach Reed's back. We'll take you all the way to the promised land, man. We've been doing it for 5 years since I came into the league. I've taken over it. We don't need Rhodes. We don't need to get in a car. We just get on Patrick Mahomes' back, baby. I'll put some ketchup on my steak. We have a good time, and I'll take you to the promised land all day.
Really
wow.
good. That's another tough wow. one. All right, last one. For my youth, the movie Airplane, I Am Serious and Don't Call Me Shirley, Deion Sanders.
Oh, I am serious. I am serious and don't call me Shirley. If you're going to say my name, say it with some respect. Call me Prime Time, baby.
Oh, God, that's awesome. What a tour de force.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
Wow.
Joey Molinaro, again, follow him on all the social medias and at his website, the official joeymolinaro.com. The NFC North Tour, he's going to be in Buffalo, Detroit, KC, Minneapolis, Chicago, and Green Bay. Hey, Joey, this is a pleasure. That was so much fun. Thank you, and I hope that we will do it again.
Absolutely. Greeny, the whole team, I appreciate you guys so much. Like I said, watch you my whole life. Dream come true. Hope to see everybody out the shows. Thanks, fellas.
All right, take care. Joey Molinaro. And Bubba, you were pushing that one. I mean, when I say pushing, not that there was anyone who didn't want to do it. But you have been sort of behind making this thing work out for a long time, making sure that the video and everything else, that was better than we imagined, right?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, having it on video worked out perfect. It was so fun. I mean, I don't even know which one's my favorite because every impression, each one he does another one, I'm like, that's my favorite. That's my favorite.
Gus is my favorite.
When he says prime time, baby, yeah, as Deion is so funny.
I know. Yeah. The Deion one, right? I don't know. They're all just so good.
Wow.
What was your favorite one?
Probably Gus. But
Gus
he's
is unbelievable.
So
yeah, you can't
talented.
Go wrong with Gus.
His cow herd is incredible. Yeah.
Obviously, many of you are listening on the radio, but to see his facial expressions and to see his sort of like setup, like he almost gets in character for a few seconds before he begins.
Yep.
He is incredibly good at that. And you can tell that he has spent a lot of time watching these guys too. It's far from just a voice. He takes on their character entirely. And that's really good.
By the way, something I recommend – Bubba, you were the one who sent it to me, and then I reposted it. Joey did. He did a thing where he does all the characters of Seinfeld, and it's like modern Seinfeld, like if Seinfeld was happening right now, and he plays each of them and did a scene, a multi-minute scene, like it's a whole long scene, and he's playing all the parts, and it was incredibly well done. Not only are the impressions really good, but like the writing was really good. Like I assume he wrote that himself, or maybe he has a team that he works with, but the writing of it for the Seinfeld fans, like Bubba and me, like you have to be right with that stuff. And he got it exactly right.
It was unbelievable. I mean, it was like literally modern day Seinfeld. Like, he nailed every intricacy of it, and it was perfect. The storyline, he had every character down of what George would be doing today, Jerry's reaction, Kramer coming in. It was so funny. And, yeah, it was like a good 5 minutes long. Like, it had like development. It was good. Storylines, it was so funny.
I loved every minute of it. All right, well, a brief break on that thought. Come back with much more in a moment. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. My throat hurts now from the laughing, but I enjoyed it. He's funny. Joey Molinaro. Do you like impressions?
I do.
I like, so the performers I really like, do you like magicians?
I don't do magic.
You don't do magic, but when you watch it, do you enjoy it?
I don't consume magic. I've never watched it. I mean, if I have, it's
I
just
mean, in
been,
your life, you've seen magic, right?
Like, I've seen like a card trick, but I've never gone out of my way to watch it.
It's great. I love magic. My kids will like roll their eyes because I'm constantly like, oh, we should go to a magic show. Like when they were little, we would take them to magic shows all the time. I love it. I love magic and I love impressionists. I love stuff that requires, maybe this is sort of connected to my love of sports, but like I love seeing people do things that I wish I could do but can't. Like, I would give anything to have that gift. I don't know how you figure out you have it. Like, I guess everyone does impressions when they're kids of just people, and most of them are just terrible. But someone has to tell you along the way, you know, you're good at this. Because if you're just doing impressions of people when you're eight, the natural inclination of the adults in your world, I would think, is to tell you, don't do that. It's not polite. Like, you know, don't impersonate people you know or whatever it is. Somewhere along the line, you have to figure out, someone has to tell you, no, you're actually really good at this.
Yeah, based upon his interview, it sounds like at least some of it came from you. I mean, he said himself that he used to watch Caliendo, used to tape Caliendo, and watch him do imitations on Mike and Mike. I mean, you have a non-trivial role in him becoming that.
Well, except the way I took that was to mean that he already wanted to be an impressionist, and so that was just a guy that he enjoyed.
But he would have been really, really young at that time. He's probably about my age, I would think.
How old is, do we know how old he is?
He, I believe, is 30 or 31.
Yeah, I mean, he's younger than I am. So he would have to be really young to have seen Caliendo doing impressions on your show.
So Caliendo, the last time he did an impression on our show would have been sometime like around 2017, so 7 years ago. So he would have been in his 20s.
Then, yeah.
But now, if he was with it all the way, I mean, Frank started coming on with us when we had the gnome, when Scotty was producing the show. He knew Caliendo from Atlanta. So when did Scotty come, like 2006 or 7?
I mean, if he was having his mother DVR it while he was in school, he was pretty young.
Right. That's true. That's right. He did say that. I like the Gus Johnson.
That's excellent.
It's an excellent impression.
I love the McAfee. Yeah. The way he stands up, because McAfee has such a such a recognizable style. And to see him do it was awesome.
Yeah.
To see it is different.
Yeah, this is one of those days where, you know, when you watch it, most of the overwhelming majority of people within the sounds of our voice right now are just hearing the sounds of our voice, whether you're listening on the radio or you're listening on the podcast. But the show also has a video component every single day. And to see him doing that, to see it was great.
He's so gifted. If you could have any, we'll call it superpower like that, would you choose imitations? Would you choose magic? Would you choose the ability to sing really well? Like, what would be your thing?
Flying? Do you include flying?
That's too much of a superpower. Like a,
well, that is a superpower.
I was using superpower ironically, of course, to do the kind of thing of like that you just described. Like,
what do you mean, of course?
The kind
you
of thing
said
that
if
you
I
can't
could have
do,
any superpower, and I said I would fly, and you said, no, that's too much of a superpower.
If you if you could do something great that
like
you can't
talent.
Do now.
Yeah,
you
should,
talent is really the word.
Right.
Right, I was exaggerating for effect.
Of course.
My apologies.
What you did was you threw me off.
If you could obtain a talent that you don't have that you would like the most to have, which would it be?
I think singing. Like, I would rather be a great singer than to be a great impressionist.
Would you rather
be? I would like to be a great dancer.
More than an actor?
Well, yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, being a great actor is very subjective, isn't it? Like, there really isn't, like, an objective. I mean, I guess some people are just objectively great actors. But I think you hear someone saying they either can sing or they can't, right? Like, here's what I would say. Maybe I would say, like, I think the ability to sing, the ability to dance, those two, one or the other of those two. But actually, the one regret I have in my life, because this was something I could have done, and I didn't, and I tried to force my kids to do it, and they rebelled against me. I wish I could play the piano.
Oh, really?
I wish I could play the piano like Billy Joel. And obviously, that's like taking it to the nth degree. But people like Billy Joel and Elton John and people who just play the piano like that, like, I would love to just sit down at a piano and play.
Did you know that I played for 10 years?
No.
I played the piano for 10 years.
Are you good?
Not really. I was not so inclined musically. Like, my mom kind of finessed me through it.
So I tried to force my kids to do it. Stevie begged me to quit immediately. Nikki stayed with it for a little while, and then she hated it and Stace told her she could stop.
I don't sight read well, but I could like sit down from memory and play like Beethoven right now. I could do that.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, could you sit down, like, at one point in your life you could just play the piano, like you could sit down and play a song if you knew it. Yeah. I would love to be able to do that. I wanted to force Nikki to do it because she had some talent for it. Like, Stevie was never going to be able to play the piano.
Could anyone in your family sing?
No.
None of you guys could.
No, my mother, I was actually thinking about this morning. My mother told us, this is how different the world was. When she was in elementary school, she was a mouther. Meaning, like, when they would sing songs in music class, like, she was actually told by the teacher just to pretend she was singing.
Because the sound was so poor?
Because she was such a bad singer. There were some kids, they would just tell them, don't sing. Like, in this day and age, they'd be like, every kid has to be told they're so good. Like, right? Oh, every kid should sing. It doesn't matter how bad our concert sounds. Let the kids sing. I don't know which is right or which is wrong. There's probably some happy medium between telling every single kid that they're about to become Taylor Swift and telling my mother she's a mouther.
A mouther. I've never heard that.
Neither had I. But you didn't grow up in the Bronx in the 40s. And she did. And she was told at that time that she should not sing. She should pretend to be singing when they had their concert.
Did Stace play any instruments?
No, not that I know of. I mean, she may have. Does she now? Definitely.
And
no.
You never.
I did. I played the trumpet for all those.
Oh, yes.
Years.
I remember the trumpet.
Yeah, I played the trumpet, which who the hell wants to hear me play a trumpet?
Could you still
now?
Play the trumpet now?
I could still read music.
Can you do the scales?
I could definitely play the scales.
I
don't know that I could buzz it, but I absolutely know
buzz it.
That's what you do.
I know. I played the trumpet for 5 years.
Okay.
My mom was very good at the trumpet.
How the hell did we get into this?
Marching band, University of Toledo.
You were in the marching band?
My mother was.
She was. She played the trumpet in the
second,
marching band?
Second chair. She was awesome. But it's not
it
very
practical.
Is it considered
a chair when you're a marching band?
mean, that's how little you know about music.
Well, no, but I understand. No, I was first cornet, first chair in the Stuyvesant High School Symphonic Orchestra. But
They didn't always practice standing up.
But, I mean, why would you have to delineate that someone is a specific chair if you're going to be walking all the time? The whole purpose of being a marching band is to march.
No, it's part of the purpose.
I was in the sitting band. That's why we had chairs. Okay, well, this went off the rails at the end here into a super uninteresting place. But, generally speaking, I thought the show was excellent. Thanks again, Joey Molinaro. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. And we'll see you back in Better Than Ever on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.